did the personality test last Sunday. It was a real simple one. It shouldn't have taken you very long to do it. I sat in my office and filled it out, and it probably didn't take me 5 minutes. The hardest part was adding up the total, okay? But I hope you did it. And I can only hope for you that you did it. Because in doing it, you see yourself, yes, as somebody has prescribed that you would be, but yet it gives you also then the opportunity to see yourself, who you are as a personality, and then as in your prayer life and in studying Scripture, letting the Holy Spirit speak to you about who you are. So I don't know how many of you saw yourself, if you did this, you saw yourself as a lion. A lion. The personality test was four animals, a lion. A lion is direct, cold-blooded, impulsive, takes big risks, and very insensitive to others. That's a lion. Take no captives. We're just going to do this. Just get behind me because we're going. Another personality is an otter. An otter. Unrealistic or a daydreamer. Impatient or overbearing. Manipulator or pushy. Years ago, I told the illustration in this about a young a teenager in the youth group in the cities. He was late for his own graduation party. The church threw a big party, and that year we had about eight of you graduated that year, Paul Hodge. And he was late for this big party that the church was. Where was he? He was at somebody else's party. He was out having fun. That's an otter. Life is great. You don't care about details. Let's just get on with it, whatever happens. Then there's the golden retriever. You attract people who are hurting. Maybe you like a dog. You like to be petted. Maybe you like a little attention. But yet, you can also be easily hurt. And being hurt, it can also be easy to hold a grudge. That's a golden retriever personality. And the other is a beaver. You're too critical, too strict, too controlling, too negative. Yeah. And you're busy. Busy like a beaver. Well, what is the most important thing that you know about yourself? I will say these two phrases on the board. Who am I in Christ? You get to accept that. I have the clicker here. I'll just work with me, okay, Wes? Thanks for being back there. I didn't tell him I had this. Okay, you're good. Who am I in Christ? Question mark, because you get to answer that. You get to fill in the blank. But then you can go to Scripture and you can say to yourself, you know who I am in Christ. Flip those two words around and you come back with totally different statements. Every disciple of Jesus Christ should know that second one. Who I am in Christ. It's in Scripture. And to give that as an answer, you're not quoting an opinion poll. You're quoting Scripture. You're quoting God Himself as to who you are. Who you are. And if the devil comes along and tries to change that, question who you are, you can look him in the eyes and, well, you really don't see the devil, but maybe the devil is a person standing in front of you. Look him in the eye and just say, you're not right. I'm quoting Scripture. I know who I am in Christ. Don't try to change that on me. That's the power of Scripture. Using the truth to know who you are in Christ Jesus. It's extremely important that we know who we are in Christ Jesus. So, in your hand, you have this stack of Scripture. Number one, who are you in Christ Jesus? You are accepted. Accepted. Do you remember going back to grade school, maybe third grade, and they were choosing teams for kickball or something, whatever game you played, and you know how good it felt to know that you were accepted as a person on the team? And if you were the last person, nobody ever wanted you on their team, they just said, well, we can play it without him. We don't need Tony. He's no good anyway. You know how friends are really honest with you. There's nothing like being accepted. And here we go. Scriptures that tell us that we're accepted. John chapter 1, verse 12. I am God's child. Who are you in Christ? I am God's child. Nobody can take that away from you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You let Him lead you in life. That promise is true. John 15, 15. As a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I used to work with somebody and they were always name dropping. You know, they wanted to make you think, or they did make us think, that they were rather important because they would name drop. Well, if you really want to not drop a name on somebody, just tell them that you're a friend of Jesus Christ and watch them step back. All right? Don't mess with me. I got a friend. His name is Jesus. All right? John 15, 15. Romans 5, 1. I have been justified. That means declared righteous in Christ Jesus. Declared righteous. When was the last time somebody that you know declared you righteous? But Jesus Christ, when we surrender our life to Him, He declares us righteous. 1 Corinthians, Paul's writings. I am united with the Lord. I am one with Him in spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit abides in us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. It counsels with us. It tries, when we obey, I must say try, He does lead and guide us through a day. If we just would stop and listen to Him. I am united with the Lord. I am one with Him in spirit. 1 Corinthians 6. I have been bought with a price and belong to God. What did we sing a song about? So the song was played, redeemed. Redeemed, you've been bought. Jesus Christ died on a cross, shed His blood for you. You've been bought. You've been had. There was a price, it was Jesus Christ. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I have been chosen by God and adopted as His child. And I don't know if anybody here is adopted. Cynthia has a brother up in Canada, and they have adopted at least 18 children. Nobody really knows the number, but it's 18 plus. All of those children were without a home, and they were given a home. They were fed, they were clothed, they were given God. To be adopted means that somebody loves you enough to bring you into their household to live with them. I've been chosen by God and I've been adopted as His child. That's you. Who are you in Christ Jesus? You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. You're adopted as His child. Colossians 1. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Done. Confess your sins, they will be forgiven. I have been redeemed. There's that word again. And forgiven of all my sins. Colossians again, I am complete in Christ. We're not finished, but we're complete. My grandsons love Legos. And so they, when they come to town, it's always, let's go to Target or go to Walmart. And you know what they're going to, you know where they're going to go. They're going to go to the Lego aisle. And they like to get these little kits where they put together a kit of all these pieces, you know, a couple hundred pieces of little plastic things. That's a complete kit, right? So they come home and they open it up, the wrapper, and they dump it on the table. And they can step back and say, that's a complete kit. Well, it is a complete kit, but it's not completed, right? All the pieces are there, but it's not completed. Well, in Christ Jesus, I am complete in Christ. Everything I need, all of the resources that I need for salvation, everything is completed in Christ. There's a lot of work to do to get it completed. But I am complete. Christ in me and me in Christ. It makes you complete. Hebrews chapter 4. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. You do not need to write a letter to Dear Abby to get some advice from Jesus Christ. You do not need to call the radio station. You do not need to send an email to somebody. Don't put something out on Facebook. Whoa, what should I do? The Scripture tells us that in prayer, we have direct access to the throne of grace. I don't have to go through anybody. You don't have to go through anybody. We have direct access to Jesus Christ to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. There it is. It's in Scripture. Who are you? You are accepted. The second area that we're going to talk about is how secure we are. But before we do that, I'm going to talk to Kevin. Now, before service started, some of you saw a group standing over here having a real good time talking, some men. Well, I will say to you that that's our Wednesday night men's Bible study group. If you want to be a part of it, if you're a guy, come Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we meet in the back room, and we talk about life, we talk about God, and we share what's happening in our lives. So Kevin's worshiped with us. Most of you know Kevin. Come here, Kevin. Huh? All right, I have just a real simple question for Kevin. You can hold that. All right? And then you can look out here, because they're going to want to, they can hear you. All right? All right, so the Bible tells us that in Christ Jesus, we are new creations. What was is in the past. We're new. Starting over. We're changed. How has Christ changed you? What's new about Kevin versus the old Kevin?
Well, he's made life a lot easier because I don't have to worry about so much anymore. I just trust him to take care of things. How's that?
Share the story. Share the story. You stay right there. I'll hold this for you. Because okay. I need to get it closer to your lips.
Oh, okay.
All right. Tell us about your friend at Bethesda. And who got changed in that situation?
Okay, there was a guy that, he was really a jerk. I mean, in another way of saying it. Yeah, it was just impossible to get along with. But so I went home that night and I prayed that God would change him. Well, it had been like a week and he hadn't changed. You know, he was still the same, he always been. So then I said, God, change me. So God changed me so I could tolerate him, put up with him a lot easier, and I can tolerate him now. I don't put up with him. Things were good.
Was it easier for you to change?
Than for you to try to change your friend?
We'll call him a friend.
He's an old guy. He's set in his ways, you know. So God thought it would be easier to change me. I thought, well, I can change.
And you let God change you.
And let him do that.
All right. Anything else you want to share? About the new Kevin? Okay. All right. You should come on a Wednesday night just for the conversation. Because there's more to that. But you know how it is standing up in front and talking. Thank you, Kevin. All right. But to know Kevin before, which none of us really knew you before, and even for a period of time, and we looked it up on my cell phone, for about a year, he said, I don't want anything to do with you. But he was saying that to God. But he was saying that to us as a congregation, right? He just said it wasn't a good fit, all right? And then God, working in your life, brought you back. And I'm so blessed. I'm absolutely so blessed that Kevin is worshiping with us. All right, let's continue. Secure. Anybody want to be secure in Christ? You ever think about that? Security? How many of you are worried about your security? Huh? Okay. How often do you check your money? Do you get your money bags out from underneath the mattress and count them just to make sure it's still there? Well, anyway, that's secondary to being secure in Christ. So here's a whole list of passages in Scripture that talk about being secure in Christ. And I don't think on the screen I put all that are listed on that piece of paper. So we're just going to go through what I have on the screen. Romans chapter 8 is a great one for this. I am free from condemnation. And if you're free from condemnation, that means that you're pretty secure. It'd be like having a get-out-of-jail card and you got caught by the police for running a stop sign or something. And you could just say to them, hey, here's my card. There's no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. And they say, oh, have a good day. All right. But there's no condemnation. We are free from condemnation because the blood of Jesus Christ covers the confessed sins. We are free from that. Romans 8:28. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. And I will confess to you, I will say to you, this is a hard one. Because we have bad days. And we have circumstances that just kick us in soft spots. Okay? That's life. But I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. So when I'm having a bad day, when things aren't just fit together right, take a deep breath. Okay, God, what is it that you're showing me in this? Kevin, that was a great example of this thing. I'm assured that God works. This guy was a real ding-a-ling to you. What did you say, jerk? Okay. I think we all understand that word. But that was a bad circumstance, and Kevin volunteers at Bethesda every day. So he had to go sit with this guy. He had to be a part of that. No way to avoid it. Okay, God, give me some good in this. And God's grace has given Kevin some good in this. So there it is. There's an example. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. Look for the good. There is going to be good. Look for it. Romans chapter 8. I am free from any condemnation brought against me, and I cannot be separated from the love of God. That's a great, great promise in Scripture. God loves each and every one of us, and there's nothing that we can do to separate us from His love. In earthly relationships, you tell somebody to get out. I don't love you anymore. You cut the love cord. You do, but it may do nothing to stop that person from loving you. And in the same sense, this is what God is saying to us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is always going to be there for us. Always going to, no matter what the circumstances are, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is always there for you. Just cry out and say, God, I messed up, I screwed up, forgive me. God's love is always there for you. 2 Corinthians, I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. That's a lot. That's a lot. But there it is, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Each one of us, believing in Jesus Christ, have been established. We have said, God, I believe in you. Jesus Christ, you are God's Son. The Holy Spirit, thank you for living in me. We have established, we've been anointed, and we are sealed by God. Philippians, I am confident that God will complete the good work He started in me. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. God will complete the good work He started in you. Your work, your obedience to God's leading will lead to good work. Philippians 3. I am a citizen of heaven. They should have that on our driver's license. I had to go get my driver's license renewed, and they wanted to know if I wanted to still be a donor. And I said, yes. They should have something like that on a driver's license. My final destination, heaven. Put it on there. You'd have two choices. I wonder how many people would put hell. I don't know, but it'd be a good question to ask somebody. But Philippians tells us, we believe in Jesus Christ. Who am I? I'm a citizen of heaven. I have, in 2 Timothy, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I need a looking at that power, love, and a sound mind. Two out of three ain't bad, is it? And nobody responds. Power, love, and a sound mind. There it is, all three of them. I have not been given a spirit of fear. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? No, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I can read Scripture. I can understand it. It speaks to me. A sound mind. 1 John, I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Don't let him touch you. Don't let him tempt you. Don't let him speak to you. Don't let him get into you. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Lastly is being significant. And now I'm going to introduce you to Chris. Come on up, Chris. Chris joined us. Well, I'll let you, maybe you'll get tell the simple story of introduction to us. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
All right, right here.
Yep. Can you hear me now?
No. You're there.
I'm here.
This is Chris. All right, Chris. How did you become a part of this group on Wednesday nights?
Well, I have a long story. A little bit, I'll shorten it up as best I can.
All right.
So that we can move. So my life is actually, to get here today, I was from Steve and Don at a McDonald's. So, and I've been blessed by having this great men's group that we sit down and study and go through everything. And I need that today because I lived a life of growing up through bad homes in my house, abusive, gone through childhood, didn't have a believer in my family, and I struggled. I hated God because why would all these things happen to me? Because if he was true, I could see on TV what a family should be like, but in our family, definitely wasn't like that. So I had this resentment and hate through all my life, and that, without letting myself go or understand, I ended up using drugs. And just recently, a year ago, I was released from prison, and I had to do a total of 3 years of prison due to my drug abuse. You know, I've hurt many people on the way, and I always knew and I had an understanding there was a God, but I didn't find him myself. I had a hard time struggling because there's so much resentment. And that was the biggest thing I had to do, is I had to forgive, you know, and let go of all the things I've held in my past. And I had to accept him. And I finally did, by doing that, has brought me here today with these guys. And I'm new to the world of understanding God. And I want to learn, because even today, I mean, I wear my seatbelt extra tight because I want to live for tomorrow. Before, I wanted to just, I don't care, I'm on drugs. This is my life. That's who I was. I just destroyed myself. There's so many different things that happen on a day-to-day. Even on the way here, this person was alongside me in the light, and I could see them. They're on drugs. I was there. I was that person. So I just smiled at this person, hopefully, and I prayed. And this gal says, "What?" as they drove off, because I was staring at this person. I'm like, and as soon as I left, I prayed for them. And that's what's changed, too. I don't pray for just me. I pray for other people. And that, through that prayer, has given me so much more growth and blessings that come with it. On a daily basis, I'm just so thankful and I'm joyful for how it's changed my life. And that's what brought me here. I want to learn more and gain, you know, to get the joy of having God in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, you can hear the rest of the story. It is amazing what God does in our lives, right? All right, so we're going to go through the last piece. Who are you in Christ? I am significant. You need to say this to yourself. In Christ Jesus, you are significant. Now, we've heard from Kevin, and we've heard from Chris. I'm going to throw this out to the rest of you, all right? You've been a Christian for 30 years. You've been a Christian for 90 years. I'm praying nobody here like that. But anyway, all right. Before we close the service out, after we go through this, I'm going to give one of you an opportunity to come up here and tell me how your life has changed because of Jesus. Okay, we've heard life-changing stories, and that's neat. But you know what? That's good for each and every one of us. You are never completed. That little Lego thing is never completed until we take our last breath and Jesus Christ welcomes us home. He's still working on us. He's still putting us together. So you're all being changed. If you're walking the walk, being obedient, something is changing. Something is changing. Maybe dramatic, maybe subtle, whatever. But before we close out, and I'm going to throw it out to the rest of you, I want somebody to volunteer. We will not leave until somebody stands up. How's that? Think they got it? All right, okay. So now, I am significant. And this is not said in an arrogant way. All right? You still need to have a humble heart. But you need to understand who you are. Who you are. Okay? I am significant. John 15:5. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine, and a channel of His life. Wow. Go home this afternoon and read John 15. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. I am a channel of His life. Then it follows up with John 15:16. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. Call somebody this week and invite them to church. Have a God conversation with somebody this week. Isn't it interesting that in John 15, it doesn't say, I'm a branch of Jesus Christ who produces the good fruit. No, where is the good fruit produced? It's from us. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. That's on you. That's on me. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I am God's temple. God doesn't live here. God doesn't live here. He doesn't live in any church. He doesn't live in a building. The Bible tells us that we are, you are, I am the temple of God's Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians, I am a minister of reconciliation for God. That's for everybody. We are all in the priesthood. Are you a minister of reconciliation for God on God's behalf? Or are you just a pot stirrer? You just like to stir things up. A gossiper. No good conversation. 2 Corinthians tells us that I am, you are, a minister of reconciliation for God. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm. Just close your eyes and think about heaven. Visualize heaven. I don't care what your vision of heaven is or where it is. Just visualize that. And there you are sitting with Jesus Christ. Oh, I am seated with Him in the heavenly realm. Again, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, I am God's handiwork. You ever think of yourself that way? That you're God's handiwork? And again, I may approach God with freedom and confidence. Again, we don't charge to come to church. We don't charge to pray for you. We don't charge for anything. It's out of obedience that we give. But we're first freedom. But then we have great confidence because God is God and I am not. So I may approach God with freedom, anytime, any place. He's available for a conversation. And I know that He's going to be there. And I know that He's going to hear me when I pray. And then Philippians chapter 4. I can do most things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not right, is it? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's on your... God don't call me up and ask me to do this. I am not going to do it. Well, then you're not a child of God. For the Bible tells us, and if I believe the Bible, and if you believe the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it, God. He understands that. He knows that. But the Bible tells us that He will give us strength. He will give us the strength to do and to be what we are to do and to be. Not for ourselves, but for His sake. Because He is the King. He's our Lord. He is our Savior. I am not. I'm accepted. I'm secure. I'm significant. All right. Who wants to share? We have little time left. Who wants to share? You've been a Christian a long time, and you want to share. You want to tell God something about Himself today that He's done for you. Rolando.
Yeah. Well, I do want to share something because I was lost, and thank God, you know, He gave me His hand to lift me up from I had fallen down, and He raised me up, and I'm thankful. And since my family, I almost lost my family, but He kept us together. Yeah. And I thank Him, and I believe in Him, and I guess, you know, Pastor, my kids, and I'm just grateful, and I believe in, you know, my Savior, Christ.
Amen.
And that's, good. You know, He's given me the strength to see what I've almost lost, or,
yeah.
And thank God, you know, I pray for to Him, and He helps me out, and I believe in Him, and He's given me a chance to redeem myself to my family and myself, and I'm just thankful and grateful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Anybody? Thank you, Pat and Rolando, the boys, for, yeah. That's good news, isn't it? Good news. Anybody else want to share? Bonnie? All right.
I was raised in a Christian home, but I just wanted to share with you, I'm growing every day.
Amen.
I just need to learn to be more bold and praise and glorify God, and that's what I'm asking Him to help me with. And I love my church family, so thank you. Thank you for your love.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Bonnie, for all you do. I want you to stand and worship. If you know the words to this song, I invite you to sing along, but April's going to sing this for us. But this answers the question. This is Scripture speaking to us. Who you say I am? This is God. God, who you say that I am? And we've looked at it this morning in Scripture.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Yeah. Yes, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. We're going to sing that bridge again, if we can go back to that. I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say.
We're going to sing that again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen.